Blog Talk Radio.
Says no fires broke out, no thieves broke in, that all is well with you and yours. I am so grateful and I am so thankful, and I can tell you now, I'm blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in the Word of God. For God's Word is true, that all things work for good. When you do according to God's will, not your own, but his. All I can say is God will work it out. Whatever your out is, whatever your situation is, God will work it out when you trust in the Lord. You know, I know Mother Valerie's favorite scripture is trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thy own understanding in all thy ways. Acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. God is in charge of everything. All we got to do is trust and believe. And I'll say it again, we got to trust and believe that he will guide us. He will lead us. He will help us. I'm trusting God today. As I look at my mess, I know that only God can fix it. And as we go in our word this morning, Saul was chasing David, chasing him from here to there, chasing him here to there and everywhere. David couldn't get away from him. And then he had the spies out there. Oh, hey, Saul, David's over here. And Saul gets all his troops together to go after one man. In today's lesson, Saul gets 3,000 folks to go after David. Really? You need 3,000 to go after one man and his little ragtag army? 3,000. Saul knew that David was just like him, anointed. And David was not going to touch Saul. And he didn't. He's the judge of us all. God's in charge of everything. Vengeance is the Lord's. And the word that God gave me this morning is, let the Lord judge between you and me, and let the Lord avenge me on you. Because David's like, I'm not touching him. He is God's anointed. I am not touching him. And he didn't. Because he didn't have to. He didn't have to. Because it was God who fought the battle for David. It was God who took care of those that would not help him. It was God from doing things he shouldn't do. And the things that he did do, because he wasn't listening to God, he had a repentant heart and asked forgiveness. God hears us. He hears us. In our cries, he hears us because he knows how much we need him, and he knows how much we can bear. So I'm thankful today that God woke me up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And in our word, Jesus is back. You know, there are folks that will believe what they hear, but can't seem to see what's right in front of them. But then we have those that know, that voice crying in the wilderness that says, prepare the way of the Lord. God is always going to send a precursor. He's going to send somebody to do the proclamation, somebody to tell you, get your bags packed. Time is running out. God is trying to tell us something. Earthquakes, dust storms, tornadoes, storms, ice storms, rainstorms, you name it, tsunamis. Are you listening? Are you looking up? We better understand God does not play. And he's trying to give us warning to repent and to get better. A nation divided against itself will not stand. Jesus said it in his word. And we as a nation, and I'm talking my nation, but there's so many of you all who have nations that are going nuts. Sudan fighting all over this planet. You got Russia fighting. You got all of these things. Russia, Ukraine, Sudan, politics, America, politics. Folks believe in lies instead of what's right in front of them, the truth. It's just like you want to just cry. Babies getting shot in the schools, dying, because we prefer weapons of war over our children. And God will judge and hold us accountable. Will hold those accountable who refuse to help our children by making gun laws that stick and weapons of war for war and not for people to have. Because most of the time, we don't use them the right way. Because we're men, and the sneaky snake knows how to slither in and whisper in the ear of those that do not know the Lord. We got to pray. Heavenly Father God, we ask forgiveness for the sins of mankind. We ask forgiveness for our sins, God. We ask forgiveness for sins that have been seen and unseen. Sins that we have done and sins that may come. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for being our sinful human self. But Lord, you are in charge of everything. You are the judge. You are the jury. You are God. And we are your humble servants, Lord God. Use us for your glory, God. Remove ourselves from us and replace us with the Holy Spirit, Lord. Let your light shine in us, God, that those that hear our voices and see our faces see you, God. So, Father God, as I lift up this word this morning, that Mother and Valerie and I read from your holy divine word, we ask you, Father God, as always, increase as we decrease. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are our strength, and you are our Redeemer. And so, Father God, I turn this word over to you, asking you, Lord God, use me for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thanking God for another day. Thanking God for each and every one of you. We are going to get into our word. And all I can say, it is a what? Say it with me, y'all. Great word. It's a great word this morning. It is a great word. God is true. It is so wonderful when you come into the presence of the Lord and you hear his word preached and taught and you feel it. As I was studying this morning, I felt this word. That God is the judge. Many times we have had people in our lives who have treated us horribly. And the flesh wants to get them. But God said, don't have to. I got this. And I can tell you, he has had it every time. Am I right, Mother? Does God not take care of his children?
Amen. Stand still. He got you.
Say it, Mother. Be still and know I am God. Hallelujah. Thank
still,
you so much. Good morning. Good morning, Mother. I like to present to some and remind others that this is my godmother. And I am so grateful that she has joined me this morning as we move forward in the word of God.
Amen.
Wow. Mother, I can only say God is good. And as we go into our word this morning, I will be coming out of the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapters 24 and 25, verse 44. Mother will be coming out of the Psalms and Proverbs and 1 John. Woo, your 1 John. Come on, that's a great word today.
Amen.
It's a great word today. Psalm chapter 60, it's the 60th Psalm, verses 1 through 5. Mother will be reading this morning. Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 3. And John, I don't know why I keep wanting to go to, must be something in 1 John I need to go read today. So I will be reading 1 John on my own. That's my own scripture. Because God keeps saying 1 John for me. And so I'm going to have to go to 1 John and read whatever it is in 1 John that needs my attention. God's got a word for me. John chapter 1, verses 19 through 51. So let's get started in the word. Mother, woo! Get ready.
Amen.
The title is coming out of our 1 Samuel scripture. Because Saul, again, is chasing David like he is a rabbit. And they're hunting him down like they hunt down the fox. And the word that God gave us is from David. Let the Lord judge between you and me. And let the Lord avenge me on you. And it's not just for Saul that this word is for. This word is for a landowner, a rich, rich man named Nabal, who is selfish, who is a horrible, hot mess of a man, who refused to help David, to help give him food. And David was like, okay, we're about to tear it up in here. David was getting his men together, and they was about to go kill every man in Nabal's household. David was like, you're not going to talk to us like that. You're not going to treat us like that. You don't know who you're dealing with, little man. You know, I'm sure David had added, the head was rocking and the fist was ready to go. As they say, let me introduce you to my five and my other five. And it's called my ten, which is about to go upside your head. And because of Abigail, as always, Mother, I'm not trying to be funny, but we know what happened when Deborah told Derek, if you want me to go with you, understand, a woman's going to get credit for this situation. But it's battle against Sarah. And what happens? Jael kills Sarah. Bam, 10 posts in the head. And in this case, Abigail comes and says, oh, please, brother, don't hurt us. Here's some food. I got y'all. You know, and what happens? She becomes the wife of a king. Abigail was the mom, too. You know, She was one of them women that you just can't get to all of the great women in the Bible, because there's so many women that do great things in the background that folks forget about. Abigail is one of those forgotten folks, because everybody talks about Bathsheba. And Bathsheba had, you know, the cheating your wife of Uriah. We all talk about her. But Abigail was the bomb and one of David's wives. And she was probably the best wife that he had, because she was wise and she was beautiful and she was smart. And she saved a bunch of people because she was just those things. Wise, beautiful, and smart, and became one of the wives of David. So I think she was the second wife of David. So let's get into the word and keep it moving. It says, now it happened when Saul had returned from following the Philistines that it was told him, saying, take note, David is in the wilderness of Engedi. And Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel and went to see David and his men on the rocks of the wild goats. So he came to the sheepfold by the road where there was cave, and Saul went into a tent to his knees. David and his men were staying in the recesses of the cave. Then the men of David said to him, this is the day of which the Lord said to you, behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it seems good to you. And David arose and secretly cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Now it happened afterwards that David's heart troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe. And he said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed. That's not my anointing. To stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David restrained his servants with these words and did not allow them to rise against Saul. And Saul got up from the cave and went on his way. David also rose afterward, went out of the cave and said, called out to Saul, saying, my lord, the king. Saul looked behind him. David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed down. And David said to Saul, why did you listen to the words of men who say, indeed, David seeks your harm? Look, this day, eyes have seen that the Lord delivered you today into my hand in the cave. And someone urged me to kill you, but my eyes spared you. Said, I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, but he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see the corner of your robe in my hand, but in that I cut off the corner of your robe and did not kill you. Know and see that there is neither evil nor rebellion in my aim, and I have not sinned against you. Yet you hunt my life to take it. Let the Lord judge between you and me, and let the Lord avenge me on you. But my hand shall not be against you. As the proverb of the ancient says, wickedness proceeds from the wicked. But my hand shall not be against you. After whom has the king of Israel come out? Whom do you pursue? A dead dog? Or let the Lord be judge and judge between you and me, and see and plead my case and deliver me out of your hand. So it was when David had finished speaking these words to Saul that Saul said, is this your voice, my son David? And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. Then he said to David, you are more righteous than I, but you have rewarded me with good, whereas I have rewarded you with evil. And you have shown this day how you have dealt well with me. But when the Lord delivered me into your hand, you did not kill me. But if a man finds his enemy, will he let him get away safely? Therefore, may the Lord reward you with good for what you have done to me this day. And now I know indeed that you shall surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in your hand. Therefore swear now to me by the Lord that you will not cut off my descendants after me, and that you will not destroy my name from my father's house. So So David swore to Saul, and Saul went home, but David and his men went up to the stronghold. David could have killed him. Could have chopped him up quick and in a hurry. Had it, I'm sure, his sword or his knife, could have stabbed him 50 zillion times. Instead, what'd he do? Cut off a little of his robe. So when he walked down and saw that robe in David's hand, and David told him, hey, I could have killed you up here, but I'm not touching God's anointing. Saul couldn't do nothing but weep. Couldn't do nothing but cry. But again, we know that vengeance is God. We don't have to do anything. Give it to God and leave it alone. Let it go. David never was after Saul. David never wanted to kill Saul. Could have. Didn't. Some another time that Saul's going to act up and David could go out and kill him, but he doesn't. Again. And as we continue in this word, it says, 1 Samuel 24:6, life lessons. The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed. David understood to touch not God's anointed. David knew that God's blessings had left Saul. He knew that he would become king. Yet because God had anointed Saul, David refused to lay a hand on him. David honored the Lord by sparing Saul's life. And we have to honor the Lord by keeping our mouths, keeping our hands off of the anointed of God. There should not be fights in the church. And I mean physical or verbal fights within the house of God. Folks going to God's house and showing out. And we got to stop that foolishness. Saying things from the pulpit that does not edify but tear down. We got to watch God and wait on God to give us the words. And if they watch as well as pray, we got to be careful because the enemy is devious, mother. He is a devious, sneaky snake. Because first, what they do? Come and run into the fall. Well, David's over here. You know, let's go get him. Thing had been reversed. David would be a dead goose. Because Saul would allow the enemy and not God to show him what to do. And he would have killed David, tried to kill David and his son with that doggone spear he is. Several times. And David had to run. And as we go back into our word, it says in 1 Samuel 24:12, let the Lord avenge me on you. But my hand shall not be against you. David would not usurp God's place. If Saul needed to be removed as king to make way for David, then God would have to do it. Even if urged by his friends, David would not strike the Lord's anointing. So our title comes from this morning, 1 Samuel 24:12. And as we continue in 1 Samuel 25, then Samuel died. And the Israelites gathered together and lamented for him and buried him at his home in Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness for him. And there was a man in Maon whose business was in Carmel. And the man was very rich. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. And he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. The name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife, Abigail. And she was a woman of good standing and beautiful appearance, but the man was harsh and evil in his doings. He was of the house of Caleb. When David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep, David sent 10 young men, and David said to the young men, go up to Carmel, go to Nabal, and greet him in my name, and thus you shall say to him, who lives in prosperity, peace be to you, peace to your house, and peace to all that you have. Now I have heard that you have assured the shepherds were with us, and we did not hurt them, nor was there anything missing from them all the while they were in Carmel. Ask your young men, and they will tell you. Therefore, let my young men find favor in your eyes, for we come on a feast day. Please give whatever comes to your hand to your servant and to your son David. So when David's young men came and spoke to Nabal according to all these words in the name of David and waited, then Nabal answered David's servant and said, who is David and who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants nowadays who break away each one from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my meat that I have killed from my shears and give it to men whom I do not know where they are from? Oh, hospitality says that you help those that come to your door. Hospitality says that you help others. And people don't have to know what you do, but you're supposed to help people. Now, understand, David protected his shirt. David and his men kept him from losing a whole lot of what he had. But he was himself. Said, oh, no, I ain't got time for all that. So David's young men turned on their heels and went back, and they came and told him all these words. Then David said to his men, every man gird on his sword. So every man girded on his sword, and David also girded on his sword. And about 400 men went with David, and 200 stayed with the supply. David and his 400 was about to go and tear up Nabal's house. Now one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, said, Lord, look, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, and he reviled them. But the men were very good to us, and we were not hurt, nor did we miss anything as long as we accompanied them. When we were in the field, they were a wall to us both by night and day, all the time we were with them keeping the sheep. Now, therefore, know and consider what you will do, for harm is determined against our master and against all his household. But he is such a scoundrel that one cannot speak to him. Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 sheep already dressed, 5 shades of roasted grain, 100 clusters of raisins, 200 cakes of figs, loaded them on donkeys, and she said to her servants, go on before me. See, I am coming after you. But she did not tell her husband Nabal. So it was as she rode on the donkey that she went down under cover of the hill, and there were David and his men coming down toward her, and she met them. Now David had said, surely in vain I have protected all that this fellow has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed and all that belongs to him. And he has repaid me evil for good. May God
do well
and more also to the enemies of David, if I leave one male of all who belong to him by morning. Like David was about to go and clean Nabal's house. He was about to go and tear up everything. There wasn't going to be one man standing in Nabal's house because David was about to do some stuff. He was about to do some damage. And this little old man didn't have a clue, too proud, too stuck on himself, that he had no idea he was walking into a hornet's nest by being so mouthy, by being so selfish, by being such a hot mess. And as we go in, it says, now when Abigail saw David, she dismounted quickly from the donkey, fell on her face before David, and bowed down to the ground. So she fell at his feet and said, on me, my Lord, on me, let this iniquity be. And please let your maidservant speak in your ears and hear the words of your maidservant. Please let not my Lord regard this scoundrel Nabal. But as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, your maidservant, did not see the young men of my Lord, whom you sent. Now, therefore, my Lord, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, since the Lord has held you back from coming to bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hand, Now then, let your enemies and those who seek harm from our Lord be as Nabal. And now, brethren, which your maidservant has brought to my Lord, let it be given to the young men who follow my Lord. Please forgive the trespass of your maidservant. For the Lord will certainly make for my Lord an enduring house, because my Lord fights the battles of the Lord, and evil is not found in you throughout your days. Yet a man is risen to pursue you and seek your life. But the life of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living with the Lord your God. And the lives of your enemies he shall sling out as from the pocket of a sling. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord is done for my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you and has appointed you ruler over Israel, that this will be no grief to you, nor offense of heart to my Lord, either that you have shed blood without cause, or that my Lord has avenged himself. But when the Lord has dealt well with my Lord, then remember your maidservant. She's like, Lord, she's like, let me get on my knees, let me pray to this man, because I know that all 400 of his men can beat 1,000 of ours. You know, she was humble. She was a humble woman as well. Smart, beautiful, and humble. And understanding of the concerns of the world, she understood everybody in my household can die because of this evil man that I'm married to. And we all understand that we don't have a choice. Back then, women didn't have a choice on who they was going to marry. Her father, Abel's father, probably were cousins or brothers or some, because they had to keep everything in the family. And he was a descendant of a mighty man of God. He was a descendant of Caleb. He was. And Caleb and Joshua were one of the only two to make it into the promised land from the beginning of the Exodus from Egypt. Everybody else died in the wilderness because these two stood with God. Come on now. And yet this evil descendant of his almost lost everything. And let's see what happened. Then David said to Abigail, blessed is the Lord God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me. And blessed is your advice. And blessed are you because you have kept me this day from coming to bloodshed and from avenging myself with my own hand. For indeed, as the Lord God of Israel lives, who has kept me back from hurting you, unless you had hurried and come to meet me, surely by morning light no males would have been left to Nabal. Wow. I read that again. Because David is telling her, you are wise, lady. You are wise because you kept my hand from some bloodshed, because there was about to be some bloodshed going on over here. And he told us, blessed is the Lord God, come on, of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me. He said, blessed is the Lord. And blessed is your advice, and blessed are you. He blessed God first, then he blessed her advice, then he blessed her because you have kept me this day from coming to bloodshed and from avenging myself with my own hands, because we know vengeance is the Lord. For mm-hmm. he, as the Lord God of Israel lives, who has kept me back from hurting you, you had hurried and come to me to meet me, surely by morning light no males would have been left to Nabal. So David received from her hand what she had brought him and said to her, go up in peace to your house. See, I have needed your voice and respected your person. David's like, okay, now. He was looking at that pretty girl. He's like, but she married me. And this time he kept it moving. Because he told her, I have heeded your voice and respected your person. I was like, thank you. Because she was all that. And some. So she turned around and went home. So it says, now Abigail went to Nabal, and there he was holding the feast. Now, wait a minute. I can't give a little, not a lot, but a little to this man who protected everything I have, who protected my shears, who protected my property. I can't help out, but I can come back. My wife comes back, and I'm having a feast of a king. Come on now. And it says this, and Nabal's heart was merry within him, but he was very drunk. Therefore, she told him nothing, little or much, until morning light. So it was in the morning, when the wine had gone from Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became like a stone. He had a stroke. He had a stroke. He didn't know he was celebrating his last day when she comes in and he's having a feast in his house like the feast of a king. And he's all merry of heart, not understanding he could have lost every male in his household because of his selfish spirit. And so he's having a party over here. And then the next day, when girl told him everything that had happened, when she told him all the stuff they had done, did not play. She was straight. She was forward. She told the truth, and she told him. So it was in the morning when the wine had gone from Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became like stone. Then it happened after about 10 days that the Lord struck Nabal, and he died. He had a stroke like stone. Just had a stroked out, realizing my household could be dead right now because of me. So when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Blessed be the Lord, who has pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and has kept his servant from evil. For the Lord has returned the wickedness of Nabal on his own head." And David sent and proposed to Abigail to take her as his wife. When the servants of David had come to Abigail at Carmel, they spoke to her, saying, "David sent us to you to ask you to become his wife." Then she arose, bowed her face to the earth, and said, "Here is your maidservant, a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord." So Abigail rose in haste and rode on a donkey, attended by five of her maidens. And she followed the messenger of David and became his wife. David also took Ahinoam of Jezreel, and so both of them were his wives. But Saul had given Michelle, his daughter, David's wife, to Peltai, the son of Aish, who was from Gilead. Now Saul gave his daughter to somebody else, and David went on and married Abigail and Ahinoam, or Ahinoam, and understand. So David got two wives, and Saul gave his first wife to somebody else. And you know, and I know that that's against God, that David really was committing adultery, and so was she. But back then, because of the fact that we were trying to populate the planet, it was all right for men to have more than one wife. You know, but that is not something that we do today. You know, you got folks running around talking about they this, they that. And, you know, they got concubines. And they got, no, one wife. You know what Jesus said. You know, we lose our mind trying to act like we from biblical days. We better stop, take a minute, read the word of God. And that means all of it, not just a little bit. That follows what you want to believe, but the whole thing, so you get it in context. So let's go back over a couple of life lessons from chapter 25 of Samuel, 1 Samuel. And it says, "He has repaid me evil for good." Sometimes we doubt whether it's beneficial, it benefits us at all to do good. But the word tells us, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Galatians 6:9. And in 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 34, "The Lord God of Israel has kept me back from hurting you, It was Abigail's quick thinking and wise actions that kept David from annihilating all the males of Nabal's family. But David rightly saw it as the Lord keeping him from bloodshed. Our sovereign Lord works in many ways. And I turn it over to you, Mother Valerie. This has been a great word this morning. It has been a great word. Vengeance is God. The Lord avenge me on you and put my hand, but my hand shall not be against you. God is in charge of everything. And when we give it over to God, everything else falls into place. My God, let it go to you.
Amen. Good morning, good morning, good morning. I'm in Psalm 61:5. Oh God, you cast us off. You've broken us down. You have been displeased. Oh, restore us again. You have made the earth tremble. You've broken it. Heal its breaches, for it is shaken. You have shown your people hard things. You made us drink the wine of confusion. You have given a banner to those who fear you, that it may be displayed because of the truth, that your beloved may be delivered. Say with your right hand and hear me. Hear me. He said, oh God, you have cast us off. You, God, have broke us down. But you have given a banner to those who fear you. Proverbs 16:3. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. I'm in John 1:19-51. Now, this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I'm not the Christ. They asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? He said, I'm not. Are you the prophet? And he answered, no. Then they said to him, who are you, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself? He said, I am. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees, and they asked him, saying, why then do you baptize if you're not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who's coming after me is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water. John bore witness then, saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, remain upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptized with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned, seeing them fall, and said to them, what do you seek? They said to him, Rabbi, which is to say when translated, teacher, where are you staying? He said to them, come and see. They came and saw where he was staying. My Lord, and remained with him that day. Now, it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and follow him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, you are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated a stone. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee. He followed Philip and said to him, follow me. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite, indeed, in whom is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, where you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." My goodness gracious me, God sees everything. He sees everything that's done and everything that will be done. What the Bible says about life lessons, what the Bible say about welcome the King, John 1:19-34. In ancient times, the arrival of a king was heralded so that his subjects could prepare for his appearance. Certainly, the king deserves to be celebrated as the ruler of the land, so cities could hold great festivals with much fanfare. Everything would be clean and prepared so that the king would see his dominion at his best. And that's what they did with King Charles. I mean, it was on the TV, the city was prepared, and they were celebrating. So the King of Glory should be celebrated. Jesus should be celebrated because he is God manifested in the flesh. He is God. When the King of Kings come to the earth, the same was true. Could any less be done for the Savior of the world? As it is written in the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." That was John the Baptist. John and Jesus were first cousins, and John was sent. He said he baptized with water, but one would come that was baptized with fire and the Holy Ghost. That was the Lord. That was God. John was just the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Who was that messenger, and how does one make straight the path of the Lord, preparing a people for its coming? Mark 1:4 tells us John came baptizing in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. When Jesus began his ministry, he was heralded by John's baptism of repentance. John ready a city to greet a mere earthly king. Rather, he prepared people's heart to receive a Savior. John said that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water. Why baptism by water? Why was this the way chosen by God to proclaim the coming of the king? During that time, when Gentiles converted to Judaism, they were baptized to show a complete all-encompassing change of attitude. They went from knowledge of false gods to recognition of the one true God. The baptism John brought was for Jews and Gentiles alike, also showing a change in attitude. Yet this baptism was not only about recognizing the one true God, it was about agreeing fully with the Lord about their sinful nature. John's father, Zechariah, prophesied about him saying, "You, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins." And that's what John would do. He said, "I baptize you for the remission of your sins." He said, "But somebody will become after me whose shoe laces I'm not worthy to unlace. And he will baptize you with fire and with the Holy Ghost." John was just preparing the way of the Lord. John helped people to know that they were sinful, but he also proclaimed the good news that the forgiveness of their sins were coming soon. In John 1:29-34, he describes the moment when John's teaching was fulfilled. Next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, Lamb of God, takes away the sins of the world. I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." John pointed toward Christ as the Son of God who had come for the forgiveness of sin. John's ministry was essential to establish of the new covenant because he instructed people how to get ready for the king. He told the multitude that the attitude for receiving Christ was repentance, and it was only through that lowly heart of ones regretting their sin that the king could truly be welcome. And all we have to do is ask the Lord to forgive us of our sins. But you got to be sincere in your heart and repent of everything that you think you have done. You ask God to forgive you for things that you have thought, and you didn't even know some of the sins that you have committed. But you ask God to forgive you and repent. And like I said, John came to prepare the way of the Lord. And Jesus, he said, "I'm not even worthy to unlatch your shoelaces." And Jesus came to give us the Holy Ghost and to forgive us for all our sins. He took the weight of the whole world, everybody's sin, every man, woman, and child. He took the weight of the whole world on his shoulders. Now, his body really wasn't willing to do this. And he prayed 3 different times, "Lord, if it's possible, can you take this away from me?" He said, "But not my will. Not my will." He said, "Let your will be done in my life. Not my will. Let your will be done in my life." He said it, "Not my will. Let your will be done in my life." He said it 3 different times. And you know, if you know the life story of Jesus, he was crucified. He nailed him to the cross. And he didn't try to get away because he said, "Not my will, let your will be done." He came to die for all of us so that we could be saved. If he hadn't died, there's no way forgiveness of sins would be here. There is no way of salvation. We could not be saved. We will not be raptured. We will not see the Lord. We will not be with the Lord. Plan of salvation wouldn't have went forth. But because of his death, because Jesus gave his life willingly, they didn't take his life. They didn't murder him. He laid his life down. He allowed them to take his life. He gave that life for us. Oh, what great love. What love. I have a daughter, and I don't think I would be willing to let her lay her life down. But Jesus did this for all of us so that we could be saved. I mean, we ought to love the Lord with all our heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Acknowledge him every single day. And you know what? He'll keep you saved if you just believe. He's asking us one thing only, and that is to believe in him, to just believe. I mean, if I told you that I was going to give you $100, you believe that. So God is just asking us to believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. There's only one way. One way to God, and that's just through Jesus Christ. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. And Lord, I thank you. I thank you for this day and for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And, you know, Mother, back in your chapter 1, verse 29, it says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus is our Passover Lamb, is what Dr. Stanley tells us. You know, who will willingly, he didn't come because he had to, he willingly took the punishment we deserve. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God loves us like that. And I love your proverb word too as well. It says in Proverbs 16:3, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. John committed himself to the Lord, John the Baptist. You know, he baptized in the name of the Lord. He committed himself from the time he was conspired away. And he did it. And I love it. It says, now do we commit our works to the Lord, not merely by asking him to bless what we are already done, but by committing ourselves and our plans to him before, doing it after we have done our work. Wow. I give it all to God, Mother. We have given it all to God. You know, and we can do nothing more than say, thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you, Lord, for your mighty word. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. And before we go any further, a word from my sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, who I believe should be taking off today on her vacation. Did not get a word from my sister this morning because she's probably on a plane flying out. But I do have a prayer for this morning for my 365 days of prayer. And our prayer for this morning is this. You get me. We do not have a high priest who is able to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Son of God, you are the hope of my heart, knowing that you walk this earth and are acquainted with temptation, weakness, and suffering. I fully put my trust in you today. I don't have to pretend to be better than I am. I don't need to be fine. You know, Jesus, the struggles that are so common in this life. You faced them all, and yet you did not fall into the trap of sin. Lord, I am reminded today that weakness is not failure. It is part of being human. When my strength is waning, may I look to you. Your power is always available, ready to flow into those who are plugged into you. Lord, let me remember that I don't succeed alone. I am not meant to pull myself up by the bootstraps to make it through. Jesus, you learned, leaned into the Father when your strength was gone, and I will do the same by your Spirit. And I love this word. What does it mean to you that God is familiar with your suffering? You know, David went through, Jesus went through. John lost his head because folks don't know how to act when it comes to doing what they need to do for the Lord. So, Mother, I thank you for coming in this morning. I thank you for allowing God to use you. And I pray, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're acting one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you, Mother, and I pray over all of you. Have a blessed and wonderful day, and may the Lord watch over all of you and your families. May you all be blessed. Thank you so much for joining Mother Valerie and myself, and we'll be back tomorrow, God willing, to give another word of God. Have a great and wonderful day, family. It is Mother Around.
Pastor, you remember you said that you woke up thinking about John 1:1. And what it says, in the beginning was the Word. Word was with God. Word was God. It says right at the beginning of his gospel, John tells us that Jesus was far more than just a great teacher or a mighty prophet. In fact, he was God. Jesus is the express image of God's person. And that's what you woke up with, John 1:1. And you said, what is that about? Well, you were thinking about in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that is so true. Well, family.
Amen. And he is with us.
Wrap.
It's a wrap because I got to go to work. Love you all. See you the last one.
Back to bed.
Day.
It's a wrap.
Amen. It's a wrap.